This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. 100 years ago, American band leader W.C. Handy came across what he called the weirdest music I'd ever heard. He'd stumbled on the blues, a musical style that spread from the black rural South to influence artists and audiences around the world. Fittingly, perhaps, for a music about hard times, blues musicians found it hard going, gaining acceptance. A story on display in a new book, Between Midnight and Day, the last unpublished blues archive. It's by blues promoter and photographer Dick Waterman. During the 1960s, he worked with some of the most influential blues musicians, men like Mississippi John Hurt and Muddy Waters. Theirs are not happy stories, Dick Waterman says, but as with the life of Robert Pete Williams, here is the source of powerful songs.
He was just sitting in a bar, and a man came in, got drunk at the bar, and turned, and in a case of mistaken identity, he pointed at Robert, and he advanced on him, and he pulled out a pistol. So Robert raised up his hand, and he said, "Now you leave me alone, man. You don't want no trouble with me." And the man came and advanced on him and pulled a gun. So Robert had a little derringer called an owl's head. And Robert pulled out his owl's head, and then he said, "I give the man the first shot, and then I had to burn him." But anyway, Robert shot him, and he was sentenced to natural life. But he was in Angola, and an LSU professor, Dr. Harry Oster, brought a guitar to the prison and recorded Robert, and so the music of Robert Pete Williams came into the world.
Lord, my worry sure is carrying me down. Sometimes I feel like baby committing suicide.
I had a conversation with Muddy Waters, and he was the one that what happened was that I had chastise a black musician in a backstage dressing room area filled with his peers, other black musicians. And I felt that I had done a really terrible, terrible thing and insulted him. At that point, I was going to go forward with music or go back to being a newspaper man. And it was Muddy Waters who saw me and called me over to the table where he was sitting. And Muddy basically said, "I saw what you did to the boy, and I heard what you said to the boy, and the boy had it coming to him. The boy showed up not prepared and not ready to play. And I've been watching you, I had my eye on you, and you just keep on like you've been doing, and you'll do just fine." And I knew at that moment that I wasn't going to go back to being a newspaper man, because I knew that if I was okay with Muddy Waters, that I could make it as a manager in the music business.
Were you traveling all through the South back then with black musicians?
I went down looking to rediscover Son House. I went into Mississippi in the summer of 1964, which was the summer of quote-unquote Mississippi burning. We backtracked Son House through relatives, and we spoke to him on the phone. He was living in Rochester, New York, and we packed up to leave the Delta and go up to Rochester, New York to meet Son House, to find him. And on that very day, Goodman, Schwerner, and Cheney were let out of a jail in Philadelphia, Mississippi, over in Neshoba County, and were murdered.
These were the three civil rights workers.
That is exactly. It was on that day, Sunday, June 21, 1964. I'll tell you, that summer of 64 down in Mississippi was kind of scary.
Just as soon as your back are turned, they'll be trying to crush you down.
Maybe he was scared, but Waterman says he felt he had a kind of immunity to Southern racial violence. Unlike the civil rights activists, Waterman wasn't traveling through the South to protest Jim Crow. He was there to collect and to photograph the blues. Southern whites weren't angered by his interest in the blues. They were simply bewildered that anyone would come so far to listen.
The white farmers' pickup trucks, shotguns on rifle racks, and they would say, they were bewildered. There were three of us, three white guys, and we had come from New York in a Volkswagen. And they said, "You come all the way down here just to hear that kind of blues music?" And I said, "Yeah." And they just shook their head. And they said, "Well, there ain't a porch down here ain't got a colored man out there with a guitar playing that music. So there's a lot of it."
Dick Waterman did find what he was looking for. He's made a career out of his love for the blues. He's supported the music not just through the performers he's promoted, but also with these photographs. Dick Waterman, now you have this book out, and it's your memories of those days in the blues, but it's your photographs as well. And I just wonder, as you look back through these pictures, what you feel about them.
Well, they're like my children. That some of these are like literally 40 years old. John Hurt from 63 and Son from 64. And so I really needed to have a good editor to come together and say, out of all your John Hurt ones, we're going to go with these, or things like that. I hope my book will hope to humanize some of the men and women who made this great music.
Can you get the blues in a photograph? How do you do that?
I have a photograph of Son House that I think captures it. That when Son House performed, whether it was 15 people, 1,500, or 15,000, he closed his eyes, his head went back, the sweat broke out on his forehead, and he went somewhere else. And he went to 1928 or 1936, and he went to Greenville or Banks or Lulu or Walls or Robinsonville, and he stayed there for the duration of the song.
You know, when in my room, I bow down to pray.
And then he would come back to you, come back to you, come back to you. And his eyes blinked and his eyes blinked. And you realize that the really great ones, they don't do it with tricks or gimmicks or whatever. They just give you the real raw thing, the real raw artistry that they have been gifted with. And I think my photograph of Son House with his eyes closed and the sweat breaking out on his face, if that is the blues, then I would feel yes, I think that photograph captures it.
Dick Waterman, author and photographer of Between Midnight and Day, the last unpublished blues archive. Thank you for joining us on Day to Day.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Pictures from Dick Waterman's Between Midnight and Day, the last unpublished blues archive, are on exhibition at the Govinda Gallery in Washington, D.C. until next month. This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick.